what I wanted to do, not a clue. And one of my older brothers was the same way. He joined the Air Force, and he was a natural born mechanic, could do anything electrical. So the next thing he finds out, you know, he's in a class learning to be a jet instructor, and a lot of the students don't know, they're having a hard time, and so Jerry gets him after class and starts working with him and helping him in explaining things so that they can understand it. So the next thing he knows, he gets called into the CO's office, and they're making him an instructor because obviously he's doing something that the instructor isn't doing, so he's learning how to teach these kids. So I was telling the gals, when I got out of high school, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do with my life. And I worked for an insurance company for a while. That was boring. I went to work for Safeway. That was boring. And I thought, gee, Jerry finished his high school in the Air Force. He got some college in. He got tremendous training. Maybe I should try that. So I did. And the only thing that was available that wasn't a desk job was being a hospital corpsman. And I didn't want a desk job. So I took that. And went through basic training, which they say it's not as difficult now as it used to be, and it was hell. I mean, they ride you so hard, and you realize afterwards there's a reason. They want perfection in every facet of what you're doing, and it's real important. And you have a very family feeling in the military. It's not like going to a big city and not knowing anybody. Wherever you go, you're by yourself, she's by herself, she's by herself, and all of a sudden you have a family. So it's a wonderful feeling. So my first assignment was at Scott Air Force Base, where I was on the pediatrics floor, and we took care of seriously ill children of the troops, cancer patients, hydrocephalus. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's when the spinal fluid doesn't drain properly out of the head and they develop these great big heads. But it was an awesome experience. Then I got stationed at Elmendorf in Anchorage, Alaska, where I took care of Vietnam veterans coming back. So that basically is it. So fire away. Have some questions.
What reactions did your family have when you said you were going to be a nurse in the military?
They were thrilled to death. You have to realize I was a toddler during World War II, not that old. And during World War II, you know, everybody wanted to be a part of the war, part of the effort to do something, and so everyone was patriotic. So after my brother was in and had done so well, and I said I wanted to go, my parents were really proud.
What's one of the most vivid memories you have, just in general, about serving, about being part of the military?
The wonderful feeling that you're a part of something that is doing good in the world. I mean, you hear about war and so forth, but this country never wanted to go to war, ever. But we are the strongest country in the world because of veterans. We are the land of the free because of the brave, and knowing that you're a part of that is a wonderful feeling.
In the Vietnam War, a lot of the United States wasn't too, like, enthusiastic about it. How do you feel about that now?
Well, I was very upset because there were times during that time, if you were in the military and you wanted to fly home, if there was empty seats on a plane, as long as you were in uniform, you could fly free. And I got nasty comments from people, usually males, not females, you know, because I was in uniform. But what always got me was I only did this twice. Is usually the empty seats are in first class. And so that's where we got to sit, was in first class. And I went, you know. But, you know, the hard part about the Vietnam War, had it continued, we would have won it. And unfortunately, the government decided not to. And anybody you ask who was there, they'll tell you, you know, had we continued another year, 6 months, we would have won it. So.
So you were on site in Vietnam, like helping?
No. I was in Alaska.
Oh.
And see, Alaska was, this was interesting because this would be the last point they'd stop on their way to Vietnam to refuel. And a bunch of us, we'd go out to the flight line, and here'd be all these young kids in their fatigues with their M16s, nervous, anxious. And we made up little gift bags for them with things and addresses. If they wanted to write to somebody, we'd write back. Then when they came back from Vietnam, it was the first stop, and this is where I took care of them. And these, all of a sudden, these young kids became 40-year-old zombies. It was really pathetic to see, you know. But it gave me a good feeling to be able to contribute to getting them well again.
So only children?
Pardon?
You only help children? Or?
Oh, no, these were adults coming back from Vietnam. No, it was children, my first assignment.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, yeah.
I understand that. Yeah. So what was, like, your worst person, like, what was the worst injury that you've had to deal with?
Usually the ones coming back from Vietnam had been taken care of to the point where it was just continuation of the care, nothing that serious. The hardest part was taking care of the pediatric, you know, the very sick. I had two cancer patients die while I was on duty, and there was one little boy whose father, he was a toddler, I mean maybe 2 years old, and his father got mad at him and stuck his fingers into the gas flame on the stove and burned off all his digits. Well, no, needless to say, the father went to Fort Leonard Wood and is in prison, or was, I don't know if he's still there or not, but taking care of this little guy, you know, it just tore your heart up that somebody could be that mean.
Well, it's got to be the emotional trauma of it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you make any, like, close friendships during the year
of
service?
Oh, yeah, I did. And in fact, when I got out, he was a colonel then that I worked for. He said, get out, go to PA school, make something of yourself. He went on to become a two-star general, and he was in charge of Lackland Air Force Base Hospital, which is the largest hospital in the United States, and he and I still correspond occasionally. He's 79, I'm 65, you know, it's been a long correspondence, plus two of the gals that I served with, one's in Michigan and one's in Atlanta. We still correspond, call each other every now and again.
So what do you do now?
I'm retired now.
What were your experiences after the war?
Okay, when I got out, I went to PA school at the University of Washington, physician's assistant, and it was fun because I was the first female to go through. I had 13 male classmates, and it was like being back in the military again. I had all these big brothers, and it was great. And then I went back to work with a vascular surgeon that I was stationed with. Went back to Kansas and worked with him there. And that was a wonderful experience. When I was a little girl, I learned to sew. And so working with this vascular surgeon, I did all his minor surgeries, removing of lumps and bumps and suturing lacerations. People said, ooh, how could you do that? And I said, well, I started sewing when I was a little girl, and you're just using a different medium that you're working with. It's true. Anyway, I did that for 10 years. And then my husband that I met in Kansas got transferred to California, and that was 1982. And at that time, they weren't using PAs like they are now. So I went into pharmaceutical sales for 20 years and then retired from that. And since we've come here, I've gone to work as a volunteer at the VA hospital. This is my badge, and this shows my rank. I was a sergeant in the Air Force. And they encourage us to wear any identification that associates you with the military, because the patients really appreciate that. They can identify with you. And I was telling Sarah, I spent 10 years as a PA, 20 years in pharmaceutical sales. I was in and out of hospitals constantly, and I have never been to a hospital where patients are treated with such great care and love as they are at the Portland VA. And I had no idea that they take care of 56,000 patients, inpatients and outpatients, a year. And the patients are so appreciative of everything that you do for them. It's a wonderful feeling. And you do find out how terrible war is. There are people there that still, you know, have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder and still have not gotten their life back together.
Especially the Vietnam War.
Right, right, right. My husband suffers from it frequently. He has a nightmare where he's confronting a Viet Cong, and he starts getting restless, and I wake him up, and he comes out of it.
Your husband was in the war?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's talking to students someplace else. He was in the Navy. Well, and the Coast Guard. He did 10 years in the Navy as on a destroyer, and he said he got tired of doing search and destroy, so he got out, joined the Coast Guard so he could do search and rescue. But it was a wonderful experience for him, too. I mean, there were terrible moments, but like I said, having the feeling that you're doing something for your country that's positive, it's the greatest. And I wouldn't give up my volunteering for anything. It's just, it's such a good feeling. And a lot of these guys, just giving them a smile, saying good morning, or going up, most of them have hats on, and taking the baseball cap, you know, pulling it down over their nose, and just, you know, teasing them makes such a difference, and it's so easy to do. It really is.
It's fun talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Hey, consider the military a career possibility. I have a young friend now. She's in school. I had no clue what I wanted to do. And one of my older brothers had gone in the Air Force, and he was becoming a jet mechanic, and a lot of his fellow students were having difficulty learning, so he'd take them after class and go over things with them. So eventually they made him an instructor. And he went in after sophomore year of high school. And he finished his high school, got in some college years, and when he got out, went to work for Pan Am, got a good job, and it was great. So I decided maybe the Air Force would be right for me. So I went in, and the only thing that wasn't a desk job, and I didn't want to be stuck behind a desk, was being a hospital corpsman. So that's what I chose. My first assignment was Scott Air Force Base in Illinois, and I worked on the pediatrics unit where we took care of severely ill patients, cancer patients, patients with hydrocephalus. That's when the fluid in the spine doesn't drain properly in the head, and they get these great big swollen heads. And I was there for 2 years. Then I got sent to Elmendorf in Anchorage, Alaska, where I took care of Vietnam patients coming back. Vietnam, this was the last place they'd stop to refuel the plane before they went on to Vietnam. And we went out, a bunch of us gals would make up, you know, little goodie bag cookies and stuff, take it out to the troops that were on the plane, and they were usually young kids, didn't look any older than you, with their fatigues and M16s, nervous and anxious. So they went to Vietnam and fought the war, and when they were coming back, it was like 40-year-old man and a zombie. It was just really pathetic what they had gone through. And then I took care of them. They'd all been treated to a point, and I just followed the treatment from there on. And that's basically it. Right now I volunteer at the VA hospital, and I love it. It's just a wonderful experience, and all the patients up there are so appreciative. They ask for nothing. It just amazes me, you know, and everything we do for them, they just are real appreciative. So fire away with questions. My husband fought in Vietnam. He was in the Navy, served on destroyers, so I have a little idea about that. So any questions?
That time period from when they left, and you said they looked really young, and then they came back and looked 40, how long was that?
Oh, 2 years generally. 2 years. Yeah, I have a friend who's a Marine medevac pilot. We call him a hell of a copter pilot. But it, you know, it's sad, but it's a very rewarding feeling knowing you're doing something for your country, and we are the greatest country in the world because of veterans. We have one of those bumper things on the back of our car that says "Land of the Free because of the Brave," and it's true. If we didn't get out there and fight, we wouldn't be the greatest country in the world. Any questions?
Have you ever seen combat?
No. No, and thank God. I hope I don't. Mm-hmm. My husband, when he was on destroyers, they would go inland and pick up SEALs and some of the other Navy people that might have been injured and so forth, and he was in combat for just a short period of time, and he still has nightmares over it. I have to wake him up to get him out of it.
It causes a lot of
yeah.
Which most memorable experience?
Oh boy. It's going to sound crazy, but at one point when I was at Scott, it was a big base. It was Air Transport, Strategic Air Command, and I forget what the third one was, but a bunch of troops got together, and some big general was coming in, and so we had to parade for him. And I don't know if you gals were cheerleaders at all, but I tell you, marching in a parade, it's a wonderful feeling. At least it was for me. when I got stationed at Scott, the first sergeant called me in to see if I had any questions about anything, and I said, well, I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed in the quality of marching that the gals do in our flight. Next thing I know, there's a notice on the bulletin board the next day, there will be march training. And everybody was upset. Who said what? Of course, I kept my mouth shut. But and one of the great feelings is telling the other group is no matter where you go, you're brand new, but there's a lot of people there that haven't been there long. You become family. You're never alone. It's not like going to a big city by yourself. You make a lot of wonderful patients, or wonderful friends. I have two gals that I went through basic training, we got stationed together, and we keep corresponding frequently, talk on the phone. And the colonel that I worked for in Alaska, I was going to re-enlist, and he said, no, get out, go to PA school, make something yourself. And he went to Lackland Air Force Base Hospital, which is the largest Air Force hospital in the United States, and became a general, and he and I correspond periodically. He's 79 and I'm 65. It's been a long time. But you do, you make lifelong friends.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice that you can have some friends over there to make you not so lonely.
Well, everywhere you go, there's family. I mean, you cannot be alone.
It's one big family.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many great things. The woman now who's the head air traffic controller at San Diego International Airport is a former Air Force air traffic controller. You get such tremendous training in the military. You get out and get great jobs. I have a friend, young girl, who's a Marine up at Whidbey Island, and they're training her to be an electronic engineer to work on jets. You know, and you can't buy that kind of training in civilian life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought was wonderful was anything you want to do to improve your knowledge, whatever it is, you let whoever's over you tell them that you want to, and they'll let you. When I worked in the hospital at Scott, if we didn't have many patients and things were quiet, I'd go down and work in the lab, learn how to, you know, spin urine, how to draw blood, go to work in the emergency room, all of those things. All you have to say is, you know, I want to learn more about this.
Wow. And they just say, okay.
Yeah, and then when I went up to Alaska, I worked in a surgical clinic, and I told this doctor that I worked for, who now, you know, went to Lackland, I'd sure love to work in surgery. So he says, okay, let's do it.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
You can learn whatever you want.
And my only disappointment was at the time I went in, I couldn't get into electronics or mechanics, and I got my highest scores in those two things. But now you can do anything. I mean, they give you a big variety of choices, realizing the choices they give you are what they need at that particular moment. But usually there's enough variety of choices that you can find something that appeals to you. And if you're injured in war, you automatically have 100% coverage by the VA hospital. And I tell any young person that goes in the military, no matter whether you stub your toe, whatever it is, make sure you see the medic and it goes down on your record so that you can get care. My husband lost some of his hearing because of being on destroyers, and he's getting now a 10% disability because of it. But it's not just war itself that's hard on you, it's the circumstances. Agent Orange in Vietnam has done so much damage. So if you do decide to go in the military, make sure anything negative that happens goes on your medical record. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, too, you get out, you can buy a house, no money down, at a good interest rate through the military.
Wow.
Yeah. And they'll send you to school. Right now, my nephew just got back from Iraq. He was a welder over there. They offered him $40,000 to re-enlist. But he didn't. He's going to get out and go in the Coast Guard.
Wow. Lots of benefits.
There really are. People don't realize.
When did you actually leave the Air Force?
1970.
Did you ever have any patients that, because you said you just kept up, like they were treated to a certain point?
And I followed up, yeah.
Were there any patients that, like, passed when you were?
Yes, and the hardest one was two pediatric children that had cancer. That was really hard to deal with. But you knew it was coming, so you prepared yourself for it. There's a lot of, you know, good things. You can get free flights if you're willing to be patient and you know, wait a day or two. If you're near an Air Force base that has a plane going near where you want to go, if they've got room on board, you can go for free.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was telling the gals, you know, during Vietnam, it was a hard time, and most people were very negative about the military. And at that time, you could fly on an airline if they had room, but you had to fly in uniform. And I went on this one flight with a young Army private, and we got on the plane. Well, the nice thing was the empty seats were in first class. But there was one guy that was making a lot of snotty remarks to us. And so after we got in first class, it was kind of like, yeah.
That's right.
Did you experience that a lot, like, even when you, like, came back home, was that the only time you experienced it, or was it other?
Well, at the time I got out, the war was winding down, mm-hmm. and it was just in the beginning where, you know, I experienced it. I have a sister who's 11 years younger, and she was in high school, and when I came home on leave one time, I went and talked to her high school group. And people, you know, had a pretty good attitude. And you can't blame the troops. They're not the ones that started the war, you know. Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of done what they're told
to do, yeah. But I tell you, it's a wonderful feeling to be a part of that and know that you contributed something to your country.
That's awesome.
And we are the greatest country in the world because of veterans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any of you have family that are in the military?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and family that has been in the military.
Mm, good,
mm-hmm.
good.
My dad's cousin is an instructor at West Point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He used to fly Blackhawks.
Mm.
And then my cousin is at West Point as a student.
Yeah.
So.
One of my high school friends teaches at West Point. I don't know if she still does or not, but it was amazing when I went to my first high school reunion, the people that you thought were really going to go someplace didn't, and those that you thought would never go anywhere really did.
Can't wait till our high school reunion.
That'd be weird. I'll see you and you'll be like a billionaire.
That's right. Because now you think I'm not going to do anything. That's why
no.
I'll be one of the successful
no,
ones.
No, I think you're going to do a lot and you will.
Well, this gal who teaches at West Point, it just blew me away that that's what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Did she seem like she wasn't going anywhere?
Well, I thought she'd get married and have a bunch of kids, and that would be it.
Military instructor was not top
yeah.
of the list.
It was down there with.
Yeah.
And then one of the young men I went to school with, he was always quiet in school, and he was, you know, an average student, never said or did much. My God, he went on to be a multimillionaire and all
wow.
kinds of, you know, international business. Joe Martinez?
The quiet kid?
Yeah.
Wow.
So just remember, if you choose to go in the military, like I said, anything you want to do to improve yourself, even if you take courses at a local college or something, they'll try to arrange your schedule so that, you know, it won't interfere with that. Cost of college these days. Wow, you know.
And they pay for college, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there any, like, cons if you go to the military? Like,
well, you're generally not close to your family.
Mm-hmm.
You miss your family, but you make new friends.
Mm-hmm.
You make new friends very fast. No, I had no problems. I had a bit of a weight problem when I went to San Antonio for my basic training, and it was real hard because I had to be on the diet line where they served Gulf shrimp. Everybody else was having, you know, biscuits and gravy and stuff, and I got... My husband served in Vietnam, as I said, and because he was exposed to Agent Orange, and now he gets full coverage from the VA, and on his initial physical, they found blood in his stool, and so they did a colonoscopy, removed some polyps, but they didn't get them all, and 3 months later, they repeated it, got the rest of them, and it turned out one of them was what they call a serrating adenoma, which always goes into cancer. You think, you know, had I not gotten him into the VA, he had no clue that there was anything going on. So
I'm
there's,
so lucky.
Yeah,
yeah,
lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And you're constantly monitored when you're in the military. You get routine annual physicals, so forth.
That's good.
Yeah. I really can't think of any negatives. It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm. But for not just you, but like other people, what do you think other people would experience that?
Well, a lot of, like my nephew, who was a welder in Iraq, his CO was a real difficult guy to work for. And, of course, you're going to run into that in business, you know, no matter what job you have, that you could run into that.
Yeah.
But... that, you know, it, like I said, any negatives probably would be the same that you might encounter in civilian life.
Mm-hmm. It just has a lot more pros than cons.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I encourage anybody to go in. My nephew right now is so thrilled. He's going to college, and he could have graduated this year, but he was taking a bunch of extra physics courses. And he wanted to be a pilot. Well, he had vision problems, so he couldn't. Well, now they've come out with a new type of LASIK surgery.
Oh, yeah.
They did, and now his vision's perfect.
Oh,
and the Air Force Academy has accepted him. He goes into pilot training next October.
Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Because I bet when he found out he couldn't do that, yeah, but he was like,
he was very upset, very disappointed, trying to figure out, you know, what he would do from there.
Then, oh, hey, I can get surgery and...
Yeah, I would jump at the chance if that was something that I really wanted to do. That'd be
simple. How come we're dressed Hawaiian today?
I was afraid of my dad, but I got initiated into Crimson Airs, which is the elite choir group at the school.
Oh, great.
So it's tradition to screw with the initiate.
Yeah, well, you run into that everywhere.
Yeah.
Certainly can get it in college.
Just preparing him early.
Yeah, like fraternity and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be a lot worse though.
Yeah. I know some people don't want to initiate.
Oh boy.
No other questions?
Okay. Are there any other interview groups that you guys?
Yeah.